Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show. Truckers, welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Is our last episode before Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm excited. I get to travel up to see the family and everybody be hanging out this weekend. I love it when Christmas falls on a weekend. That means everybody should be able to come by and say hello and you be able to see people. You know, truck drivers, it's so funny. We always talk about it. It's like I finally get some days off and it falls on a Friday and Saturday. And that hardly ever happens in truck driving. When you get time off, it's always on a Monday or Tuesday or even on a Thursday. And you got to go back to work Friday night or you got to go back to work Saturday morning or something like that. You know, it's always like that. So when time off falls on a weekend, that's always a good thing in trucking. So give us a holler, 515-602-9731. This is Redneckinize Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call us right here, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody joining along. We're also on, well, check out our website, redneckinize.com, where you'll find all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're also on YouTube, and we're on YouTube Live right now. So check us out there. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's when the computer is slow and it don't catch up with everything, and then the buttons don't get hit right. So there it goes. There we are on YouTube Live. I can see it right now, and I appreciate everybody following along. Like I said, if you want to comment on it or participate in the conversation, give me a holler, 515-602-9731. And before we go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Let's see here. I don't know what to do. I want to do that. Can I move it? There we go. Boom. Come on now. Oh, it's not going to let me do that. So there's LTR, Load to Ride Transportation out of Denver, Colorado. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Appreciate everybody joining along. Like I said, we're on YouTube Live right now. I appreciate everybody doing that and checking things out there. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. So, like I said, just getting ready for Christmas. Excuse me. And we're just, you know, getting batting down the hatches and talking about all things trucking and then some. And then we've been going over a lot of things that have been happening this last month here in December. And what's been going on is there's a regulation change. It's a proposed rulemaking. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to change the way they handle the emergency exemptions through when they have like emergency disasters and they want an exemption to allow drivers to haul overweight or overtime or whatever like that. And what I didn't know, and I guess the way the regulation is they just say, here is an exemption. And the exemption is like 30 days and it's everything pretty much. I mean, there's nothing. And what that does is that allows people to skirt the rules when it comes to driver qualifications, when it comes to like compliance stuff, where having all your paperwork and physicals in order and all that stuff, they're exempting people from having that stuff too. So what they're doing now is they're trying to change it to where they can declare an emergency, but they can actually specifically declare an emergency for, you know, like 5 days and exactly for what they wanted to exempt for. So they can exempt it for 5 days for just hours of service. And that's what they want to do. They say clarification to the applicability of emergency exemptions. That's the title of the proposed rule change commenting period. And you can go in and comment regulations.gov. It's on there. And right now there are only 3 comments and it'll be up in February. So that's what's going to happen. And, you know, a lot of times what they're talking about is that when these emergencies get declared, all of the background check stuff and everything, I mean, anything that relates to FMCSA as far as driver qualifications and truck, you know, maintenance issues and all that, all goes out the window when they declare these emergencies. So they want to decrease it from 30 days to 5 days, and then they want to, allow multiple extensions for different things, and that's what they want to do. They want to be able to control that. Now, my comment on there is that if all of the rules in the FMCSA green handbook are specifically for safety, I mean, that's the name of the organization, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. So if the rules that they write are specifically for safety, then there shouldn't be no exemption. And if you want to exempt anything, you can exempt compliance, you know. But again, the rules are written. The reason why you don't hire a driver that failed a drug test or you don't hire a driver that has a proper CDL, then that's safety, you know, because all the bells and whistles that the driver had to go through to get those things done, that just, you know, that's part of the deal, you know. You know, it's so funny. When you get into a car accident and people get called right away to assist you. Now, by all means, somebody's going to try to want to help you and everything. But you know who can't help you? Are people that are in the business of being paid to help you, and they're not certified in the area that they're in to help you. They can't do it, because if they do it, they can get sued or charged or whatever. The way the rules are, they can't intervene. And, of course, the people that are in charge are the ones that actually come up to you and say, you know, I work here and all that. Well, in an emergency situation, the way you call an ambulance, those people have already gone through the process to get certified. So you want those people certified. You don't want no Joe Blow showing up to assist you in trying to, you know, save your life or save you from injury or anything. You want those people to be certified. So that kind of stuff, it's what we need to do to get things done out here is that, you know, it's about safety and it's about, you know, taking care of people and taking care of things, and there shouldn't be any exemptions. And that's just the way it goes. So, I don't know. Tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. And to be part of the conversation, just hit 1. We're talking about, like I said, that started on December 7th, the rule change, regulation.gov, proposed rule change commenting section. And other than that, you know, other things, they've approved new emission standards. A book got released by a professor out of Cornell University talking about the truck driver and how the companies and, you know, what we always said, Wall Street and lawyers have ruined the trucking industry because they've created this surveillance workplace where all the computers are there to do the job that truck drivers should be trained to do, but they're being replaced by the computer. The driver is still driving the truck. And she actually has a lecture on YouTube that's pretty interesting. She calls it RoboTrucker. And what it is that they've taken all these technologies, whatever they can do to keep you awake. They actually come up with actually a hat the driver would wear while they're driving to detect brain waves to know whether or not the driver is getting drowsy or not. And you might think, well, that's pretty cool. Okay. But the deal is that the money that gets invested in that stuff doesn't get invested in proper training, doesn't get invested in the schooling of drivers or just taking care of the driver, period. The problem that all drivers will tell you is that the company wants a perfect, great, trustworthy driver, but they want to pay them poverty wages. That's what all drivers will tell you. So when you have a company that takes care of its drivers, they're going to be really strict, you know. And there's even companies out there that pay really good, and they have these computers and stuff to watch the drivers. But you can see that it's not that bad for those companies, but it's still bad. We still shouldn't have it. Okay, the driver should be trusted, especially when you pay that driver well to do a job. I mean, they're already showing up for you. You know, they're already taking care of the truck. They're checking the oil. They're checking the tires. They want to do a good job. They take care of the freight. You know, they take care of the paperwork and all that. The only thing that the company doesn't trust you doing is driving down the road and staying in the lane. That's the only thing they don't trust. They trust you to hook the trailer up because there's no computer verifying whether or not the truck's hooked up. Okay? They trust you to check the tires because right now the technology for drive tires is there's no way to detect whether or not the tire is inflated. You know, they've got these tire pressure sensors. I don't know of any of them that actually hook into like an ECM that report back to say, hey, this driver took this truck out and it only had, you know, 80 pounds of pressure in one tire, you know, that kind of stuff. The technology, I don't know if it exists that does that. Maybe they're working on it. I don't know. You know, I mean, we already know that the engines are all computerized and got sensors. So the computers know when the truck's low on oil. The computers know when the truck's low on windshield wiper fluid. You know, the computer doesn't know when the windshield wipers need to be replaced. You know, the computer doesn't know when the mirrors or windshield needs to be cleaned. You know, that kind of thing. So the computer, I mean, there's even technology where the computers in the trucks know when the headlights go out or when the headlights don't work, that kind of thing. So, you know, they're coming around. They're trying. But, again, drivers are trained to do these things to make sure everything's all right, and that's the driver needs to be taken care of to be trusted to do those things. And if they mess up and don't do it right, they need to be punished, right? And that's the thing, too. We're so short drivers, good drivers, that a lot of times, I don't know, maybe supervisors let it go a little bit. Maybe the company necessarily doesn't, you know, fire a driver. You know, it's one of those things where, like I said, they're trusting the driver to show up and do a good job, okay? To show up, perform safely, to deal with the customers, all that. There's some companies where even if you don't show up, you can't get fired. I mean, even if you, like, just, you know, I mean, there's company policies that I've seen where you actually have to be gone 3 days before they consider you no call, no show. 3 days. Okay? You ask a driver, a truck owner, a fleet owner out there that's got 4, 5, 6, 10 trucks, you ask that guy, if the driver doesn't show up within the hour and doesn't call him and let him know where he's at, okay, after that hour, driver's gone. Okay? I mean, no communication right there. That's already a red flag. not showing up when you said you were going to show up. That's two red flags. Okay. The third red flag is that they don't even show up that day. That's it. You're done. You know, I mean, and the driver, the owners of those trucks, those trucking companies like that, they'll tell you they can't afford it. And these carriers out there, these big mega carriers, they don't even try to worry about the driver getting fired until that driver is gone. They don't even worry about it. You got a supervisor that, I mean, this happened when I was working as a dispatch office at Swift. I have a driver didn't show up. I call him. No answer. Messages, nothing. Where is the truck? Truck's at his house. Nothing. Right? And I've been told to give it till tomorrow. I've been told that. You know, I've been told I'll give him a couple days, you know, or whatever. I was told one time by a supervisor that said the driver called me. The driver's good. He's all, you know, he's everything's fine. And come to find out, the driver never called. You know, the supervisor just covering their butt, you know, just trying to say, yeah, everything's fine. The truck's sitting there doing nothing, not making any money. It's fine. You know, of course, the funny thing is that, and I've said this before, the same guy that says give him a couple of days, that's the same guy that will come in Monday morning and says that any driver that's not out here, you know, it's kind of like they come in with their morning coffee and some attitude change. They're like, any driver's not coming out today, go get their trucks. You know, I mean, it's the same person doing that, making those decisions. So, you know, and it's like in a big corporation, you can't do that. You can't fly off the seat of your pants like that. And then those guys running those fleets, they'll tell you they can't afford it. So, I don't know what you got. Let me know. Let's go to the phones. What's going on, bud? Hey.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm just ranting and raving.
Oh, I called in a few minutes still, and there wasn't no show scheduled. I thought, maybe we ain't have one tonight. I don't know.
No, it's I had trouble getting it started. The computer's, I turned it on late.
Yeah. I don't know. I had trouble last night. I tried to call in to Tiss last night, and I couldn't get into her either. I don't know. She could hear me. Holly could hear me. Everybody could hear me, but, you know, or hear her, but I could hear her, but couldn't hear me. So I'm thinking, yeah, that might not have been a bad thing. But how's the weather down there?
It's still in the 60s right now.
You suck.
I'm heading up to Salado, and the low tonight is supposed to be 18 in Salado. So by the end of the night, by tonight, it'll be 18 in Salado.
Right. Oh.
I've got friends in Dallas, and they've already sent videos that they've thrown their little cup of water up in the air, and it's turned into snow.
Ah.
Yeah, it's going to get cold.
Yeah, I don't know. It's up here. I don't know what it is here now. It's right around 38, 40 degrees right here now back up here in Youngstown. I went out to Burns Harbor, Indiana last night, delivered first thing this morning and reloaded and tried to get back over here, and I've been running in front of it all the way back. It's been chasing me all the way out of there, so it's just raining now. It's supposed to be 1 o'clock here in the morning. They're calling for like up to 60 mile an hour wind gusts here, like 30 below with the wind chills being like 30 below zero, and 3 to 5 or 4 to 8 inches of snow, and oh yeah, just a mixed bag of tricks.
Isn't that crazy?
So, yeah. So I don't know what it's going to be doing. So we'll see in the morning, because I'm sitting here at Petro up here in Girard. I'm here until in the morning, 7:30, and then I got to get down the road about 4 mile and unload, disload down there at the scrapyard. Haul scrap out of Burns Harbor, Indiana, haul it clear back over to Youngstown. They take it off the trailer and drop it at the scrapyard and cut it up. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, see?
Unbelievable. Can't believe there ain't a scrapyard somewhere closer to Chicago, Indiana, you know, Gary out there. They must be paying a hell of a premium for scrap out here to haul, be able to pay the freight and haul it clear out here.
Well, now, so I'll tell you that from my experience, now, I used to haul a lot of scrap for Pete out there in Missouri, and I talked to a lot of those guys that did that. These guys had three different locations that they owned, where they were the guys that had the little yard where you'd go in and you'd have a pickup truck full of scrap, and they'd weigh it, and then you'd dump it all in a pile, and then you come back over here and reweigh it, you know, how that kind of thing, you know, where you get, they pay you for the scrap,
yeah.
And they divide it up. They got aluminum, right. they got the stuff, and then they've got just the little whatever you call it, kind of backhoe kind of thing where they can pick it up and put it in the trucks and what's some places called? I forget. I mean, anyway, where they could sell it and all that. But they talk about how they have to sell it. So they sell it, right? Well, what they do is they call around these places that have the scrap to sell.
Process it. That's all they do.
Yeah. Well, the deal is that sometimes you're looking for the price. So maybe somebody close by ain't paying the price. Or people close by, there's so much scrap, they're like, I can't take anymore. You know,
right.
and so if you're trying to sell it and nobody wants to buy it, then you're pretty much going to do whatever you can to get it out because you got to move it.
Right.
That's something.
Right.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Either it's selling good or it's not selling good. They might be losing on the deal, you know, sometimes
yeah.
the way that. So, yep. I don't know. Did you watch the first episode of that 1923 with Harrison Ford on the Yellowstone story? Kind of thing? No,
I didn't. I haven't. I don't know. Can't get into it. I don't know. They just, to me,
yeah.
like I said, it just seems like they done ass backwards. You know, they needed to run it from 1923 first, and then the 1837 or whatever they did, and then Yellowstone. And they you know, Taylor Sheridan, I like him, but he's bass backwards, man. He just.
Well,
to me, it just seems like he did everything ass backwards.
Well, his mind is so crazy. It's probably he's probably got so much going on, you know, and everything. And,
I think
and me and my uncle were talking about it that he's a little weird. I would say that if you probably met him in person, you're like, man, that guy's weird.
Well, he's a good producer. I mean, he's good at what he does, but I think he's dyslexic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He might be even borderline autistic to where he can only focus
right.
on certain things at a time. And it's inside
right.
of his own head. And, you know, like I said, you see that guy and you're like what's, you know, sometimes it's the way even he's an actor, right? You see him sometimes on there and it's like, why is he talking the way he's talking? Why does he talk that way? Why in the show Yellowstone, when he shows up and he's the horse trainer, why is he such an asshole? Why, you know, and all that.
Right.
So it's so funny. Maybe he's really that way. And that way he doesn't have to worry about trying to act like somebody. He can just act like himself. I don't know. But,
right.
But everybody loves him. Everybody that you know, works for him, I guess maybe because he's so, you know, like it's one of those things where if you're passionate about a job, like when you meet a truck driver that loves his job, you're going to like, yeah, that guy's all right. You know,
right.
So you know, maybe, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to me, but yeah, you're right. It's, but the reason I brought that up, we're talking about selling the metal and trying to get
right.
rid of it. That, well, during the episode, they're arguing over who has the right to eat the grass, the cows, and then you got sheep herders. And they're actually breaking the rules. They're cutting fences going into other people's pastures. And the sheep herder was like, well, the sheep roam and they you don't know where what grass they're going to eat. They don't know who owns what land and all that and everything. And he goes,
right.
and the grass that they own, it's all gone because they got so many sheep. And he's like, well, if you got too many sheep, you sell them. And he's like, well, nobody's buying them. So why
right.
would I want to sell them? And it's like, but if you've only got a certain amount of land and a certain amount of space, you better be getting rid of some because you're gonna run out of space.
Right.
You know, that's – to me, that's the way freight business works a lot of time with these warehouses. Sometimes you see warehouses, they just move freight, just be moving freight.
Right.
Because the warehouses, they, you know, this warehouse has got less stuff in it. Let's put more stuff in that warehouse and just move it over there. You know, so, yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a –
yeah.
And then you lose on those deals. You know, that's not making you any money, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we make stuff up to take to a scrapyard. When I was pulling the dump, we saw all the scrap and dump trailers. You know, all over the place. You'd buy it one place and take it. Company would buy it in South Carolina or North Carolina. We'd truck it all the way back up here to Pittsburgh, you know,
yeah.
and dump it up here, you know. And then he'd sort through it and mix it and do whatever he did, and then he'd load it back up, take it 20 miles down the road to another scrap yard, and you dump it up there.
Yep.
It was crazy the way they do things, you know. It's like, well, whatever, you know. Well, as long as I get my money, I don't care what you do with it. You know, I'll dump it in the middle of your yard. I don't care.
Yep, yep. Yeah, that's this place, the place that when Pete was getting paid by this little family outlet that had three different locations. They're real small. They didn't have much room. But the one thing they did is they found out that they make more money if they separated all the aluminum and made sure all the aluminum, so they pay a couple of guys to make sure that all the aluminum gets loaded up into one trailer. And each location, every week, each location had a full trailer of aluminum. And they would take it into Springfield where this place said, well, I'll take all the aluminum you got. And they give them good money for a whole truckload of aluminum. And you're talking like, you know, $40,000-$50,000 worth of aluminum on that trailer that they're taking in. So, so you're talking about a good week's pay just separating that aluminum. When if you didn't do that, you would take it to a place that wasn't going to pay you that much because they got to sort through it, so they don't want to pay top dollar for all the, you know, sorting that they got to do. So, you know, that people pay more for a specific type of metal and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, we don't think it's a big business, but it is. It's huge. Recycle scrap.
It's crazy.
And some of the people that we see out there every day looking for scrap in those pickup trucks that, you know, are leaking oil and only got three tires.
Right.
You know, it's so funny that they're like, oh yeah, I'll sell that. And they're getting pennies on the dollar compared to what these places that actually they're swapping it out, like you're saying, all the time. But it's so fun.
Yeah, I don't know. So is the storm all blow through you down there? Is you still getting rain, or what are you doing?
Well, we've been getting drizzles. We haven't been getting any kind of hard rain. It's that kind where the windshield gets wet, and then you turn on the wipers, and then you got to turn them back off. I was going to see on here. I'm going to see if I can get a big layout of how it looks right now. And see where, how cold is it over there right now?
Right now it's about, I don't know, it's around 38 to 40 degrees, but that's going to change real quick.
Yeah.
Because they're saying like 1 o'clock in the morning, the temperature, it's coming in, it's supposed to be here about, I don't know, I've been watching it all day on the radar coming across. And it's been chasing me all the way across, just the rain and then the ice and the sleet and the snow and the ice and the, you know, freezing rain and all the mixed bag of tricks of the cold wind chills and everything is coming in behind the rain. So supposedly by like 7 o'clock in the morning, it's supposed to be nasty as hell over in here. Now, I don't know. Like I said, all I got to do is down the road about 4 miles and unload, and then I got 30 miles down straight south down to the house. So if I can get this down and get it in the yard, get it parked, that's it for me.
Yeah.
I was, you know, my dispatcher, Marie, she asked me if I wanted to go load one over in Washington, PA again, which is about 60 miles back over there, load another load up of these rolls that I haul out to Burns Harbor to take out Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever. But I told her, I said, yeah, I'll go get them if it ain't bad. But I said, if I get them morning, it's icy and stuff. I'm not. It's all two-lane road going over there. It's windy, twisty, turny, hilly. No, I ain't getting out on that. Not empty, you know. I'm a big boy. I've been doing it a while, but I ain't going out there asking for nothing either. So it ain't that big of a deal. You know, that company we haul for all the time, that plant supervisor down there, him and I, we're pretty close. So you know, he knows what the deal is. So he don't care, you know. I pick it up whenever I get it, and I deliver it whenever I deliver it. So ain't no big deal. I just got my trailer back because I was up in Chicago last week and backing in. It was pouring rain down. I had a couple of spotters back in there, and they wasn't paying attention. And partly it was my fault. I mean, I should have got out and looked too, and I didn't. I was depending on them and tried to get back into the door, and I had about 6 inches on each side. I had a couple of lays on that I was – brought out a PA to deliver up a Franklin Park, Pataskill, Illinois. and I smacked the side of my trailer, Conestoga. I smacked one of the uprights on the edge of the building right there on the bricks, smashed six rollers and split the tarp from the bottom all the way to the top right there on one, the edge of one of them uprights. Yeah, I did a number on $1,630 to get it fixed. So I dropped it off Friday over at Merlot, where I got the system put on at, where I got the Conestoga put on. He said, well, he said, Greg, he said, I'm going to try to get you in. But he says, probably looking at probably the first year before I get it done. He said, because we got orders that we got to get done before the end of the year. I say, I understand. No big deal. He said, I'm going to see what I can do. He called me Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? Today's Thursday. Yeah, Tuesday. He called me Tuesday afternoon and said, well, a lady in the office, Lori Merlot, she called. She said, Jim told me to call you and tell you your trailer's done. He got it done. I said, wow. I said, well, it's supposed to be the first year. Well, yeah, he worked you in. I said, okay. I said, well, so she sent me the invoice, and Tiff and I jumped in the truck. She rode over with me, and we went over and picked it up, brought it home, and excuse me. I told her while I was over, I said, well, I didn't think he was going to get it done the first year. He said, well, them three trailers right there just come in decked. I said, yeah. He said, if they'd have been in yesterday, he said, yeah, it would have probably been the first year. They didn't come in this morning, so when they didn't come in yesterday, he says, I kind of slid you to the top of the list because I know that's the only trailer you got. The rest of these are mostly company trucks, company trailers, you know, for different companies. He said, they've got extra trailers they could use. So he said, I got you, I put you ahead of them and put you in and got you set, straightened up so I could get you going again. I said, well, I appreciate it. So, but they really treat us good over there. I mean, we got kids over there, and any problems I've had, they take care of it pretty quick. But that's the third time they fixed it. I mean, that's the first time it's been my fault, but, you know, I mean, I went to back in the door one day right after this thing wasn't a month old. Kid put the door down.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Tonight's forecast says San Antonio 18, Dallas is 12, St. Louis is -4, Chicago's -6, but then over in Ohio and everything, it's at 15. Even in Michigan, it's like still 29. It's right centered around like Iowa and Missouri. And then Kansas, it's -6 in Kansas City, -5 in Denver tonight. It's 3 degrees in Oklahoma City, 4 degrees in Memphis tonight, forecast. What's that? That's somewhere in Kentucky. It's it's 5 degrees, but -4 in St. Louis. And then 31.
Yeah, they're expecting, I was just reading it here, 2 to 4 inches. 2 to 4 inches of snow right here in Youngstown. Winds gusting as high as 60 miles per hour, dangerously cold wind. Wind chills expected. Wind chills as low as 30 below zero.
Yep. Yeah, up in Montana, it's negative. The forecast for tonight in Montana is -26.
Wow.
Wow. And,
that's cold.
Yep, everywhere pretty much is going to be below 50. Even Los Angeles is low at 48. Florida is the only one. Florida, Miami is at 70. Tampa is at 64. Jacksonville is at 55. But even like over there in Mobile, Alabama, it's supposed to get down to 27.
They're saying like 35 down in Florida.
Well, see, I mean,
freezing up down there.
Probably, yeah, parts of Florida. I mean, it's going to be raining. It's raining.
Right.
All the whole state of Florida is calling for rain, but it's still supposed to be 70. It's going to be below 70. Jacksonville's at 55. Even Jacksonville at 55, that's cool. Down here, our normal winters are where it might start off at like 50, but by the end of the day, in the morning it's 50 degrees, but by the end of the day it's like 75. You know, that's a normal day.
I called BS 2 years ago when I was out there in Dallas. It wasn't no 50.
No, yeah.
I sat there 4 days in a snowstorm.
Well,
every time I go out there, I get screwed.
Yeah, that's the problem. It'll every now and then it comes around. But yeah, it's supposed to be 12. It's supposed to be 12 and windy in Dallas tonight. 18 and windy in San Antonio, and then Brownsville is 28. So below freezing in Brownsville. That's odd. But
yeah,
I mean,
I was thinking it was about 4 years ago or so, three, 4 years ago, five maybe, I don't know, sometime back then. There was one winter up here. We didn't get a lot of snow. We didn't get hardly any snow that year, but the wind chills dropped down, and it was down to like 40 below with the wind chill factors of like 40 below, and it never came above 40 below, 30, 40 below for
right.
3 days solid. We was down in you know, negative 40 wind chills for like 3 days. Man, it was crazy. It was nuts. You couldn't get warm. And this thing, I mean, this is when I had the old engine here before I overhauled it. I don't know what was wrong, but then I couldn't get no heat in this thing. I rode around all 3 days. I worked local around here for my dispatcher, Marie, that one I work for now. But I was working local for her, just like a 15-mile radius, just hauling from one plant to the other, just interplant moves with a container, a chassis, you know, just moving stuff from one plant to the other, and they'd unload it, go back in another. I rode around with a coat and my gloves on and a hat in the truck, trying to stay warm inside the truck. I was scraping ice off the inside, frost off the inside of the windows with a credit card so I could see. could not get any heat out of this truck. I don't know what happened. I don't know what was wrong. Overhauled it, new head and everything, and redone it. And then, now it's perfect, man. I got this thing it'll burn you out of here now. But that was a miserable winter. I say right then, that's when I told Chet Tiff, I said, after I drive forward, I said, from now on, I said, that's it. No air condition, no worky. No heat, no worky. Simple as that. No work, no work. No heat, no work. No air, no work. Nope, I'll go home.
Right.
I ain't doing it. I did two rounds out to Chicago back in this thing 1 year because the AC compressor burned up on it, blowed the clutch out of it, and I couldn't get one until, you know, that weekend. And I run two rounds back and forth in this thing in the middle of summer. And it was like 90-some degrees outside. And this black truck, no, ain't going to happen again. This thing was like a sauna. It was like a sauna. You roll the windows down and all you got was hot air there, too. It's like, nah, that's enough of that nonsense.
Exactly. Man. So,
but... yeah, I don't know. I was really surprised. I got here night this late, and the truck stop's damn near empty. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, I mean,
maybe everybody hunkered down somewhere else for tonight. I don't know. I know it ain't real busy out on the road. There ain't many trucks running. Well, if this goes to holiday, everybody's going home or already home.
Probably getting home.
So,
you know,
yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
At the beginning of the show, I talked about it. It's very rare. I mean, it's great that the Christmas is falling on a weekend. But it's very rare for truck driver when a truck driver gets time off during a weekend, the truck driver is definitely excited about having time off on the weekend because truck drivers rarely get that. So yeah, they're like, hey man, I'm heading home and it's going to be the weekend. All right.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, it's so like, on. This is tomorrow. It's. Like around, looks like what's that town just north or just south of Detroit in Ohio? What's that first town right there?
Toledo.
Yeah, they got it
Toledo,
at 18.
Toledo, Perrysburg. Yeah, right in there.
Yeah, it's supposed to be 18 and rainy, snowy. Looks like it's either Erie or Pittsburgh. They've got it at 40. It doesn't. The cold snap did not go that far east. Or it's not going that far east as of tomorrow. 16 degrees in Memphis, 7 degrees in St. Louis, 22 degrees in Oklahoma City, 9 degrees in Kansas City. Rapid City, South Dakota is 6 degrees. Minneapolis is at 1 degree during the day. Negative 5 up in Montana. What is that? No, see, that's so funny. Seattle's at 41. You believe that?
Yeah.
And then 35 is... tomorrow's high in San Antonio. 33 is tomorrow's high in Houston. 34 is tomorrow's high in New Orleans. 19 is tomorrow's high in Atlanta. and 39 is tomorrow's high in Brownsville. That's cold in Brownsville.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not going to be – Texas is all blue. Everybody – so the funny thing, I saw a meme. I don't know if you saw it too, but it was a picture of Ted Cruz wearing a Texas flag mask, pulling a carry-all, like a carry-on luggage for the airport. And it was like he was walking and somebody snapped a picture of him. And it was like, so when you hear that it's going to be freezing in Texas, when it's going to be below 20 in Texas, and it's got Ted Cruz.
Yeah, for Cancun.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're saying next weekend for New Year's up here, unless they change it, it's supposed to be like 50 degrees up home, 50 degrees for New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Yeah,
I said,
no,
yeah, I can do that.
I'll be out riding New Year's Day. New Year's Day, we have a ride scheduled. It's supposed to be in the 70s.
I will, too. I'll be riding around in the car in a pickup with the heat on.
Yeah, we do a...
So I think I will be riding.
Yeah, it's a memorial ride for a guy. He passed away like 20 years ago. They started doing this. Every New Year's Day, they do a ride around the bay. And it's kind of like, you know, down here, the weather can be nice. Last year was really nice. And this year going to be even, you know, it's going to be just as nice. And it's supposed to be, you know, like either overcast or partly cloudy. So, but I'll tell you this. I have a cousin that's in the weather business. And he'll tell you right now, he's always said this, it is scientifically impossible to predict accurate weather more than 3 days out. That it's all computers, all the computers are predicting this based on history and the current cycles. And as long as the cycles don't change too much, and of course...
I can understand that. But what irritates me with the weatherman is the meteorologists, you know, for what they get paid, for the job that they're doing and what they're getting paid, and then for them to get on and tell me, well, there's a 50% chance of rain today or it's going to be partly sunny today. Are you serious? Give me that paycheck. I can get on there and tell you that there's a 50% chance of rain or snow. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't.
That's a whole joke.
Or partly cloudy. Well, it's partly cloudy, partly sunny. It's glass half empty or half full.
That's
tomato,
the whole
tomato,
truth.
Potato, potato. What the hell? Come on, people.
My cousin will tell you that the whole like chance of rain, it's scientifically the way the rules, you know, how they the way they say things and all that. When the weatherman tells you that, he's basically just making it up. He's not
exactly.
So my cousin's one of those guys that he'll get on the soapbox with you because he doesn't get paid as much as those guys on TV. Those guys on TV, they read the reports that he produces.
Right.
And they don't and they get paid way more money just because they're, you know, they get up there and they talk and all that. But all of the data that weatherman is reading to you is produced by people like my cousin sitting in those offices that are at these weather stations and they're using the instruments and computers and satellites and all that. And it's amazing because it's such a big organization. You know, you're talking about big business. The weather business is a big business. And there's a lot of people that, you know, do a lot of different things that we just have no clue. You know, we have no clue.
Well, I just like that. They can go and they can find a planet or a planet that's out there 40 billion light years away, and they can see that, but they can't predict the weather 2 days in advance. You know what the weather? They can't predict the weather. Okay. What the weather's doing? I know they can't control the weather, but they can't even predict what it's going to do or where it's going to go or come or whatever. But they can, you know, like I said, they can find a planet 40 billion light years from here. It's like, really? Come on, people.
Well, not only that, it's the whole process with even you're talking about planets. I mean, there are people that can predict the weather on other planets, but they can't even predict the weather on the Earth.
Yeah.
I can't believe people get paid to predict weather on other planets. That's how do you get that?
I don't know. But hey, back to these exemptions. All these exemptions they're wanting to put out here. That's crazy. That is totally crazy. Now, they put all these exemptions out for fuel oil haulers and stuff and propane and natural gas and all that during this cold weather and everything, you know, over the Northeast, wherever, so they can keep the trucks running to keep the supply chain going, you know, for people with fuel oil and everything. Now, I got no problem with that. I understand people's got to stay warm. They got to have that stuff in there. But there is there's no common sense to that. That, to me, that makes no sense. That's asinine. You know, you go and you put an exemption out. You give them an exemption. They can go out and run as much, as hard, as long as they want, as long as they're hauling fuel oil, natural gas, propane, stuff of that nature, you know. But you can't haul a load of general freight down the road over your hours, because if you're 15 minutes over, they want to hang you for it. Now, what's safer, going down the road over your hours of service, if they want to push that issue? What's safer, a load of general freight or a damn bomb going down the road and that guy's tired? He, who knows how long he's been running or how long? It doesn't make any sense. Now you got a tanker full of propane or fuel oil or whatever, and this guy, he can run down the road. That doesn't matter. Don't worry about the bug, but just go. Haul all you can haul. And they give them that exemption. There's no sense in that. That makes no logic. There's no common sense.
No, I totally agree. What do you call I don't think any exemption should be able to be done at all. I mean,
no,
there shouldn't be
any exemptions.
Yeah. I mean,
no, FEMA, nothing. There shouldn't be any. They don't need it.
FMCSA.
There's enough trucks out here, Ed, that even with FEMA, there's enough trucks out here. They can get that stuff all hauled down there on 100 trucks versus 20 trucks running over their hours. They can put it on more trucks and get it there where they got a steady flow of trucks coming in there all the time, just like they do everything else.
Yes, that's right. I agree. I mean, there's so many trucks that can be hauling that freight. You don't. And also, you know, if it does have to move, if any freight has to move that bad, okay, there are teams out there. And I think the biggest thing, I think these carriers, what they want to be able to do is they want to put it on a single truck and not pay that team rate. Because teams, you know, that's one of the comments that was made in the comment period was that during these exemptions, when these exemptions get thrown around, these carriers, what they'll do is they'll move all that freight. Well, I'll tell you what, they'll move it all, and they'll crack that whip good, make all that money, and then next thing you know, drivers are not making any more money. You know, I mean,
well, what happens when one of them drivers has a crash? The federal government give them the exemption to do it. Okay, so now they're allowed to do it. They're allowed to run over their hours of service. So forget about the hours of service. Just run. Run as hard as long as you want to. All right? And then as soon as there is a major, you know, an accident and somebody dies or somebody gets hurt or there's a big, you know, spill or something like that, now where does that driver and that company stand in? You know, the government steps back there. Well, we give them the exemption, but, you know, we can't control that now. Now that's on the attorney's hands.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Somebody's getting sued. Somebody's going to jail.
Yeah. Well, you know, the lawyer is going to sue them. You know, you guys broke the rules. You guys shouldn't be doing that.
You're damn right.
And they said, well, the FMCSA was allowing us to break those rules so that we can move the emergency exemption time in there and all that. And so when the lawyer says, can you sue the federal government? And for allowing these rules to be broken, I mean, that's what should happen. But, you know, nobody
exactly
can do that, you know. So yeah, I mean, if there's a rule, I mean what do we know? Okay, we know about being safe, okay, which means that you don't jump out of the truck when it's going 55 miles an hour down the highway. Okay, there is no exemption for that rule. you don't
right.
It's like, well, when it's a tornado, it's okay to jump out of the truck. No, it's never okay to jump out of the truck. It's, you know,
right.
Driving when you're tired. It's never okay to drive when you're tired. But during the exemptions, oh, it's okay. It's okay. You can do that. You know, that's okay.
They tell you if you get tired, lay down, take a nap for an hour or so or whatever you do, and you know, lay down and rest a little bit if you need to, and then you get up and go again.
Yeah, keep going.
If it works during exemptions like that, you know, if you can drive and drive and drive, and then when you get so tired that you can't drive anymore, you pull off the side of the road, you lay down, you take a power nap for an hour, hour and a half, and then you get up and you go another 4, 5, 6, 7 hours down the road, you take another power nap. If it'll work for the exemptions like that, then why won't it work for everybody all the time?
Right. Yep, exactly right. That's what we talked about in the 14-hour clock. You know, drivers, you know, they actually the OIDA, so their new article, I don't know if you get this magazine or not. I don't know why I still get it. Maybe,
yeah.
I don't know. But they had an article about that, how the accidents have increased over these tightening. When the regulations have tightened, the crashes have actually increased, the fatalities. So,
right.
But OIDA, the problem with OIDA, the first half of this, the first section of the article, the introduction to the article, they completely just blame ELDs. That's all they do is blame ELDs.
Yep.
And I'm like, no. The ELD is not the biggest problem. The 14-hour clock is the biggest problem because the 14-hour clock started before ELDs, and the 14-hour clock is the worst thing that ever come up with the hours of service.
Yep.
It is just absolutely worse.
Yep.
Just like you're saying, you can't take a power nap because you don't have time. Because if you get stuck somewhere and get delayed and you got to go because your 14-hour clock's going to stop, you know, so you got to keep going. And the 14-hour clock to me, you know, not able to stop that, not able to say, you know what, I'm going to take about a 2 or 3 hour nap here and then keep on going. You can't do that no more. Used to, you could. You're right.
Yeah, from here to Gary, I can go from here to Chicago, and I'll guarantee you, if I don't see at least 15 to 20 trucks pulled off on the shoulder of the road with their four-ways on, just sitting there, if I don't see 15 or 20 every trip out across there, I don't see one. And I know they're not all broke down. They don't plan their trip. They run out. They need their 30-minute break, so they just pull off side of the damn road. They take their 30-minute break, do whatever they do, and then they just, when they get ready, when it says they can go again, they hook in gear and stomp the damn fuel, and out in traffic they come. They'll cut in front of you or do whatever. Now they got a rule, you know. Move over. If you see a vehicle with flashing lights on the side and or whatever on the shoulder of the road, try to move over. Well, damn, I go out through there, and that's all I get done is right lane to the left lane, then back over to the right lane. You go down the road. I went last night. I swear to God, I went around around one. I didn't go a mile down the road. I could see the next one. I could see his four ways blinking when I went around that one. I dropped over, went left lane, got around him, got back over to the right lane. I went less than a mile, and I had to get back over to the left lane again. So now I got to watch cars coming up. I got to get back over to the left lane so I don't crowd them. So I'm applying to the law. Yeah, you know, pass him, then get back over to the right lane. Then you go down the road, you know, maybe 8, 10 mile, maybe 20 mile. There's another one sitting on the side of the road, four ways going. You know, if they're broke down, they should have triangles out. They're on the side of the road taking a 30-minute break. Then the cops need to stop and say, what's the problem? Are you broke down? No, I need to take a 30-minute break. Here's a ticket. Next time, plan your trip accordingly. This is for, you know, disabled or broke down vehicles only for an emergency stopping only. That 30-minute break ain't an emergency. Take this citation. See you in court. If they do that, this nonsense should stop. And as soon as one of them gets hit, you know, somebody gets sideswiped or gets hit, then they want to blame the one out on the highway because, well, he hit me. I was sitting on the shoulder of the road and he hit me. Why was you sitting there? Was you broke down? Well, no. I had to take a 30-minute break. I was in violation. Well, then you didn't plan your trip accordingly. How many truck stops or how many exits did you pass before you got to that spot right there that you couldn't have pulled off a little earlier and took that 30-minute break? You don't have to run right up to almost to the eighth hour before you take that 30-minute break. You know, that's bullshit, you know. I don't want to hear them excuse that, so there's no sense in it. These guys in the truck stop in the morning when they get ready to leave. You know, it takes them 45 minutes to get out of a truck stop because they want to do that e-log crawl to keep their damn log from putting them on duty until they get to the exit. Now, when you come out of a truck stop, how in the hell long does it take you to get from where you're parked in the truck stop out to the exit? A minute, minute and a half, 2 minutes? I mean, you don't go through there 35 mile an hour. but you don't have to be driving four, you know, 4 mile an hour or whatever it is to keep your e-log from putting you on duty. Put it in gear, drive out of the truck, stop normal. You're going to lose maybe 2 minutes. What in the hell is 2 minutes going to make that big of a deal, that make much of a difference in a 14-hour day? How much of difference is that 2 minutes going to cost you?
Isn't that crazy?
Yep. It's stupid. It's stupid. There's no reason for it.
Well, Robbie knows a whole lot about that 30-minute crawl. Don't you, Robbie?
No. I don't do that. You know, it takes more time for you to do that freaking wheel-all crawl across the parking lot and just freaking go.
Yeah, just put it in gear and go, Robbie, right?
Yeah, put it in. If you're gonna go.
Don't fly out of the truck stop, but just drive normal out of there.
It takes you no longer than three minutes
to get out of a truck stop. Biggest truck stop here.
Mm-hmm.
I can be in Iowa 80, clear out in the back, and I'll guarantee you within 3 minutes you can be out there at the exit.
Yep.
Normal driving. You know, without speeding in the parking lot. They come in there at night, 25 mile an hour in the parking lot, and in the morning, they're running 4. Stupid, man. I don't know.
Yep.
Joe, you need some
Yep. Well, I think
everybody.
I didn't realize I had callers call in.
Uh-huh.
How many more you got?
Well, there's me and there's Robbie.
Yep, that's it.
Well, you were talking too much. Ed couldn't get a word in edgewise in order to bring us on.
That's fine.
Because your mouth didn't shut up.
I took a nap.
Who that?
So.
Huh?
Who that? Who you talking about? Who that?
you know who I'm talking about, you knucklehead.
You know who I'm talking about.
You guys know better. You know better. You know. When you look at that, you see me on there. You know. You do it on purpose. You guys know that you're going to touch that nerve. You're going to punch that button.
No, not all the time. Just every once in a while, like tonight.
Last night, I was pretty calm. I was pretty calm last night.
Yeah, until you and Holly got going.
And night before last with Ed, I was pretty calm that night. I didn't get excited. We had a good conversation that night. Mm-hmm. I kept everything down. But Ed tonight, he had to bring up these hours of service and these e-logs. you know, that's a sore-ass subject with me because I got no use for none of that. I keep my raggedy ass old dinosaur truck and my paper log, and I'm happy.
Funny.
I was tuning in just to say around here it's supposed to be 19 degrees tomorrow for a high.
Yeah.
And yep. A low.
Do you want to rub it in?
Don't even start, Robbie.
I'm gonna see
if it's gonna be warmer here than it is down in Corpus.
Probably. It's supposed to be in the 20s, and it's supposed to be, like, I'm going to Salado. Salado's supposed to get down to 18 tonight. And then...
I'm liking my 65.
Yeah.
Robbie?
Yes?
I hope your swimming pool fills up with algae, asshole.
Yeah, it's supposed to get down to 26 here in Corpus tonight.
I think it's freezing your ass off.
You guys are down there in the 60s.
The wind's blowing at 28 miles an hour.
Like I said, next week, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day up here, they're calling for 50 degrees up here next week unless it changes.
Yeah, so.
Yep, and we'll be having a fire.
Yep, New Year's Day here is high at 73.
Hey, Robbie, you know what I'm doing? You know what I'm doing next week at 50 degrees? New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Fire.
I'm going to build me a fire, and I'm going to get my bottle. I'm going to get my bottle of Crown and my bottle of Coke, and I'm going to have my own little party. Everybody's coming over, but I'm going to be outside my own little party.
I don't know. I'm going to finish my wine off tonight.
I figure when I fall down, I've had enough.
That's right.
Just remember, wherever you fall is where you sleep.
That's all right.
That's right.
All I got to do is make it to the picnic table, so I'm up off the ground. I'm good.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Now, I'm going over to my son's for New Year's Eve, so.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be staying the night there, and I'm bringing my crown and my Dr. Pepper over, and I'll be good.
Who in the hell can ruin? There ain't nothing can ruin a bottle of Crown worse than a can of Dr. Pepper.
Nope. I don't care for Pepsi or Coke.
Well, my whole problem is that if you're going to mix, I mean, I like it. I like a, so what I do is I use Jack Daniels with the Dr. Pepper, and that's Dr. Jack. That's what that's called. And that is really good. But the problem is that
yeah,
why
it's Jack, the Dr. Jack, all right, it's jacked up. That's what it is.
Well, what I don't like is mixing the good whiskey with something. Like, you know, Crown's not good. It's not the best, but it's good.
Crown, you know, Crown's good, but Crown, you don't mix Crown. Crown's
yeah,
better to just drink Crown, just Crown chilled, man. Put it in the refrigerator, whatever, keep it cold, pour some in a glass. Do that Beth Dutton, man. Pour that shit straight in a glass and down it,
oh, yeah,
man.
Yes. Yep. What do you call it?
So why is it that you always are mixing it if it's so good just straight?
Hey. Wait a minute. She's got that shit all wrong. We had two Halloween parties, and both Halloween parties, I drank a whole damn bottle of Crown. Both of them, I drank a whole bottle of one of them and a whole bottle of the other one by myself. And I was...
That's when you were, like, 40
so
years younger.
You... Yeah, right?
How do you have two parties in one day? Halloween's only one day. How do you have two Halloween?
No, 2 years. Two separate years, Ed. The 1 year I drank a whole bottle, and about 2 years later we had another one, and I did the same thing. Not only did I drink a bottle of Crown, but I got into apple pie shine and some straight shine. Oh, yeah. I was good, man. I was right. I was done.
None of that was my fault.
It was good Kentucky shine. Yeah, it was good Kentucky shine, so.
Yeah.
It was some good shit.
Just like that.
Yeah,
it wasn't
cut like most of it. It was straight good Kentucky shine right out of the hills.
Yeah, probably better than that kind
untaxed.
We had. No.
Oh, I tell you what, it was some good stuff.
I was probably worse than I was down there at the truck show, and that shit you got me on that rum that day, you ass.
Speaking of
truck shows, we need to go back to that. It's just having fun, maybe get a little sloshed a little bit and go walk around.
We're going to.
No, Robbie, if I get sloshed, I don't walk around. I might get a DUI on a golf cart, but I ain't walking nowhere.
I'll make sure I stay out of your way.
I'm going to put a bunch of chicken lights on the golf cart, man, and an air horn, and I'm...
I might be sitting shotgun in it, too, anyways, at that point.
Put a bunch of chicken lights and an air horn on that golf cart and be like wrestling cowboys right around inebriated, pulling the air horn and stuff and flashing all of our lights at everybody.
Uh-huh. Well, good deal.
Boy.
All right, well, Todd, you got work tonight, Ed.
Yeah, tonight, and then I'm off. I'll be traveling up to see the folks tomorrow. So,
Like I said, I'm unloading in the morning, and if it's ice and snow and stuff comes in here at night, I ain't loading nothing tomorrow. I'm gonna unload this, go home. I'll get that other load whenever. I ain't asking for nothing. I ain't scared of it. I ain't scared to drive in it. I ain't scared to say no. I ain't either.
I did see something on Facebook here a couple minutes ago on I-35 getting into Iowa. There was about 20 trucks jackknifed because of black ice.
That don't surprise me. They can jackknife on dry ground, dry roads.
Yeah.
That doesn't tell me nothing.
Really?
Like I said, down there just below Racine the other day, last week, I was going up 81, headed up to PA out of Statesville, North Carolina. And I'm driving up I think it was just south of Racine. Big 379 Peterbilt, big old fancy truck with a reefer, nice looking truck, coming south. Looked like he just drove off the road and drove right down the middle of the media strip and just parked it down there in the middle of the media strip. Cops sitting up there on the inside shoulder with his lights going, got sitting down there in the media strip. I'm thinking, you know, the road was perfectly dry. It wasn't real cold. The road was, like I said, perfectly dry. You know, it was, you know, just right at dark. And I'm thinking, you know, how in the hell does that happen? How do you just drive off the damn road on dry ground? You know, dry road, dry pavement, how does that happen? I don't get it.
Yep.
I don't understand it. All right. Well, listen.
All right, guys.
12 after, you got to get going. Robbie's
yep.
got to get back to the swimming pool. And I'm going to get ready to go in here and get something to eat here in a few minutes, and I'm going to come out, turn my damn TV on, and I'm going to sit and wait for the snow and storm to come.
Hell yeah.
I got to put my furniture back. I just finished cleaning my carpet before I called in, so.
Wait a minute. Why is it you clean your carpet when you're at home, but when you're at your other home, you don't clean the carpet here?
Yeah, you don't
do
nothing.
So I can really say... When he's up at the house, can't get his ass out of that recliner long enough to do anything.
I know, right?
That recliner is comfy. I sleep good in that recliner.
It is. Yes. That recliner is comfy.
Well, you know what? Next year, next time we'll have to make sure both of them are in each bedroom. They'll never come out of them.
Oh, yeah, we got two of them just
the
right.
Bedroom.
There's another one upstairs identical to that one. They was bought as a match set. They was both of them was brand new. When we got them, they was brand new. They had never hardly been set in. They was Donna's, and when her and Rich passed, you know, she brought them over there. When we was keeping her, she wanted all brought over there. We brought it over to the house, and that's where they stayed. When she passed, there they are, brand new.
Hmm.
They ordered them. They had them special built somewhere. I don't know what furniture company or where
they got
them, but they had them special ordered.
They're built by the
owner. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. All right, gentlemen.
Yep, good deal.
I guess we'll talk after the first of the year.
No, it'll be Tuesday.
No, it'll be next week.
Oh, that's right, Tuesday. That's right. You'll be back Tuesday. All right,
yep.
I'll talk to you then probably next Tuesday. Everybody have a nice holiday, nice Christmas, Merry
Christmas,
Happy New Year. All that good, happy stuff.
Yeah, you guys have a good Christmas. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep.
I'll keep watching the mail. I'll keep waiting for FedEx, Robbie, for my Christmas present.
You might want to keep watching.
I ain't get my child support check, so I guess all I can do is wait for my Christmas present.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Yep.
All right.
Later.
Bye, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye. Merry Christmas, everybody. Good deal. So, Redneck and I's Radio will be back here Tuesday. It would be, the 27th? That's when that'll be done. We're going to enjoy our holiday, and everybody, you guys do the same thing. Make sure you guys stay safe. Stay warm. It's going to get cold all over the United States, as you saw I was talking about there earlier. So check us out. Like I said, redneckandi's.com. Thank our great sponsors, Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com. And DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or give them a call, 800-634-3010. We appreciate all the support of our sponsors, DPF Regeneration and dpfregeneration.com. Also, Trucker Tools, truckertools.com, the Trucker Tools app. You can download their app from your app store. And don't forget to special thanks to Load to Ride Transportation. That's ltrtransportation.com. Those guys... great outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and we appreciate all their support. So special thanks and Merry Christmas to all of our great sponsors out there and to all of our followers. Appreciate all you guys sticking it out. Like I said, we are here every weekday, 5, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, You can give us a call at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one, and we appreciate all your support. Don't forget to go subscribe to YouTube channel. So check us out. And I appreciate everybody doing it. So until Tuesday, the 27th, everybody have a Merry Christmas. You guys stay safe, stay successful, stay warm, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
On his sleigh, the scene is set. It's beautiful. Sounds of peace, joy and love from all of us. We'd like to say, have yourself some happy holidays.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.